Moving on. Ordinance and first reading. Number 48, authorizing moratorium grid scale power facility. City attorney?
Do you want to summarize rather than read it, ma'am?
I believe it. I'd like to say I think it should be read because it's different than what was proposed in agenda setting.
City attorney, would you please read the entire moratorium?
That's my job.
Oh, see, Clark. Would you guys toggle back and forth, Stuart?
I read one somewhere.
I can't find it, so.
City clerk, my apologies.
Ordinance amendment number 48, establishing moratorium on site plan applications for new grid-scale power generation facilities. Whereas properties within the city of Rockland have become a focus for a proposal to construct a gas-fired combined cycle electric power generation facility. And whereas, if not properly sited and designed and regulated, grid-scale power generation facilities can be a source of considerable air, water, and noise pollution that can adversely impact the neighborhoods and communities where these facilities are located, thereby endangering public health, safety, and welfare. And whereas public and professional comments have raised questions as to whether the city's current noise standards are an appropriate tool for addressing the specific types of sounds originating from grid-scale combined cycle power generation facilities. And whereas the city has no specific ordinance provisions governing acceptable sources or disposal options for the potentially large volumes of water needed for cooling grid-scale combined cycle power generation facilities. And whereas the city has no specific regulations governing potential impacts from the air emissions associated with large volume open cooling water towers that are utilized at many grid-scale power generation facilities. And whereas community members have questioned whether the city's commercial and industrial ordinance standards, which were developed for large volume retail and specialty manufacturing, provide appropriate regulation for a grid-scale power generation facility when this type of generation facility is located on parcels abutting residential zones or historic districts. And whereas appropriate zoning limitations, site plan and performance standards, and other municipal regulations can ameliorate the impacts of grid-scale power generation facilities by requiring their location in industrial areas, by limiting noise, vibration, and emissions, and by requiring appropriate buffering and screening from public ways, residential areas, and other incompatible uses. And whereas the development of natural gas-fired combined cycle power generation facilities would require the construction of a natural gas distribution line into the city to provide fuel. And whereas the city's street opening ordinance does not include provisions that provide for adequate inspection of natural gas piping as it is being installed to ensure leaks are avoided. And whereas the city council hereby finds that to avoid the serious public harms that reasonably may ensue from the unregulated siting and development of grid-scale power generation facilities in the city, a moratorium is needed while the city studies, drafts, and adopts one or more zoning or other ordinance amendments to establish reasonable municipal regulations for grid-scale power generation facilities to avoid and or ameliorate such public harms. Now, therefore, the City of Rockland hereby ordains as follows, that pursuant to Title 38 and Revised Statute, Section 4356, a moratorium is hereby established barring the acceptance of new site plan applications and the processing of and action upon site plan applications filed with the City of Rockland on or after December 14, 2015, for the construction of electric power generation facilities having a capacity in excess of 10 megawatts in the City of Rockland for 180 days. The provisions of this moratorium do not apply to businesses constructing heating and power generation systems to meet on-site heating and or power needs. And that within 14 days of the Council's adoption of this ordinance in second reading, the City's Energy Committee is directed to convey to the Planning Board a summary of any issues that the committee recommends be considered by the Planning Board based on the forums held by the committee, and the Energy Committee is also directed to provide advice or assistance to the Planning Board as may be requested by the Board's Chairman. And that within 30 days of the Council's adoption of this ordinance in second reading, the City Manager is directed to provide options to the Planning Board for technical experts to advise the Board as the Board may choose. And that no later than March 4, 2016, the city manager is directed to bring before council for its consideration a draft of a street opening ordinance that addresses the technical questions, inspection requirements, and reasonable for cost regulations related to the installation of natural gas distribution lines and any other infrastructure changes that should be made in tandem with this work. And that the planning board is directed no later than March 4, 2016, to draft for city council consideration an ordinance or ordinances regulating the siting and development of grid-scale power generation facilities in the city of Rockland. Sponsor, Councilor Gilson.
You've heard the reading. What is the wish of council? Councilor Gilson.
I make a motion to pass it as read.
Councilor Gilson makes a motion to pass the ordinance in first reading. Is there any discussion?
Madam Mayor.
Councilor Project.
Just as a brief bit of history, when I first heard that, as most everyone here knows, I chair the City's Energy Committee, and my committee facilitated two of the public forums, and I was a participant in the third. And I came away from those hearings with a clear sense of a very specific list of questions in my mind that should be addressed. And I heard from both, well-regarded legal experts, such as attorneys and Planner Flaherty, as well as engineers from two different firms, that doing that in the context of a purchase and sale agreement was an appropriate vehicle. And that given that, there was probably not a reason at that stage to look at ordinance amendments. But they were very clear that when you're thinking about combined cycle power plants, that there are very specific issues that are specific to them that are not typical for, a special manufacturing plant or a fish processing facility. In my own mind, when I heard the shift, I had not really thought about, what does this now mean? There was a lot of public interest. There are very legitimate questions identified. What do we do with those? Our new counselor, Bill Jellison, who used to be my next-door neighbor, called me up one morning and said, "Oh, Larry, what do you think about a moratorium?" And I was like, whoa, hadn't thought about that one. But as I thought about it, it increasingly seemed to me as a perfectly reasonable vehicle to address the questions being brought forth by the community. And Bill and I talked about it two or three times, and I become increasingly comfortable this was an appropriate vehicle. I think if you look at the questions outlined, they speak to specific questions that are not clearly addressed. I don't think anyone contemplating discharging the volumes discharged or where the water should come from. I don't think the noise standard may be that appropriate or may not be that workable. And I think those are the kind of standards that state law, which clearly authorized moratoriums, clearly authorized them for land use purposes and vision. And it's been pointed out here as well that BMI first approached the city in May. I had reservations about holding those initial sessions in executive session. I think they were conducted appropriately, but as Steve Betts sitting in the back knows, I've been involved in siting wastewater treatment plants, which are highly popular things to do, especially in residential neighborhoods. And I was sitting here thinking, this is not a good way to go about this. There's going to be a lot of community questions. The best way to do this is to clearly have a public process and recognizing there may be some fine details, what the bid price may be to the Public Utilities Commission, some fine contractual stuff that we do in executive session, but we need to have this be a public process. And sadly, other than the work the Energy Committee has done, or New Rockland has done, or the Land Trust has done, there hasn't been, because there hasn't been a partner to do that. And so I, as a counselor, many of you in the community, and many of the people who spoke to me in a couple of weeks, have been sitting there, what is this really? And I think in that case, we can understand from what we've seen in the forums, what these kind of facilities are like, what the questions are. So I think given that we haven't had a partner who would be willing to work in the public sphere, I think it's time for the council to say, we've heard you, community. We are going to take the steps that will try to address your concerns. I don't think, as I said, agenda setting, moratoriums or any way closing conversations. I will point people to the Beaver Ridge Wind Power Farm, which has been built. When Dr. Silkman went to the select board, there were very clear questions. Dr. Silkman said, we want the community to be concerns addressed. We'll wait, go draft your wind ordinance, we'll come back, that's what happened, the facility got built. So saying to a developer, wait, in some way, shape, fashion, form, doesn't have to kill projects. So I don't think there's any reason anyone here in any other business here should see this as saying no to business. I think what's happening in Rockland on the ground speaks well to what's actually going on with the Hera Corporation building a large outfitting facility on Tilson Avenue next to the Coast Guard Station, with Lyman Morris, another local boat building firm, completing a five-story boutique motel on Pleasant Street, with the planning board having recently approved, I can't remember the dollar value, the Dowling Walsh car storage facility. There's plenty going on to show that Rockland is working with appropriate development. So A, I intend to support this. I don't see this closing the conversation. And B, I think the questions raised here in terms of energy are important ones the community needs to deal with.
Thank you, Councilor Pritchett. Further discussion? That, Councilor.
I have agonized over this for the last week, going back and forth. And in the end, for me, it comes down to some sort of gut responses. So I, as always, Nate, I think you are a beautiful speaker, and it helped sort of sink me into my own moral compass. I am not necessarily against a 25-megawatt gas plant. I think that Mr. Coleman's return and downsizing of a gas plant now feels like it's much more appropriately sized. The amount of steam that would be generated from that plant now seems appropriately sized to the numbers of industrial customers he could sell that to. I also think, but am not clear, that the amount of emissions that would come out of a 25-megawatt plant compared to the lessening of emissions by those industrial customers who moved to steam heat rather than their current use of oil may well be less than the emissions that we have now. The reason I am going to support the moratorium is that I believe in the final analysis that when we are working with a developer, there has to be good faith on both sides. I am uncomfortable with the murkiness here, the lack of firm proposal, the threats that were made at the last meeting. I don't respond well to threats. I am not against a possible gas plant. As I said, I really believe in regional energy generation. I really believe in combined heat and power plants. They are a very efficient solution. President Obama has talked about the need to increase those plants. But I am uncomfortable with the lack of facts. I am sorely disappointed that the vehemence of some members of our community around trying to stop a conversation has lost us the opportunity to negotiate because it was going to be on City Hall. And I think that is a real lost opportunity that that the moratorium will only go some ways toward remedying. I do hope the moratorium is not seen as a no to development or a no to a conversation, but rather to create a framework for a very important conversation for our town. I feel strongly that City Council, our townspeople have to make a decision for what is right for Rockland, and that's where emissions and water use and right sizing comes. But we also owe a greater moral responsibility to our larger community in the face of the kinds of global threats we're looking at. I believe this plant has the possibility to be in accord with those moral imperatives as well, but we don't know. I am uncomfortable agreeing not declaring a moratorium when we have no facts to go on. And as Larry and others have said, if we wait until February when a proposal is made, when a PUC license has been applied for, it is too late to make any difference in what's being done in Rockland. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Geiger. Anyone else wishing to add to the discussion? Councillor Clayton?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do wish to speak probably in a few minutes' time. But first, I have five separate questions, if I may ask them. I will direct them to Councillor Gilson, just simply since he's the sponsor and originator. I know that some may have to go to City Attorney or to Councillor Pritchett, being the Chair of the Energy Committee. The first one I have is potentially, I think, just a slight Scrivener's error on the second page, the first that. It references December 14, 2014.
That'd be 2015. I've already made that change, Councillor.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the copy that went out in the packet, unfortunately, did not include the correction. But those three dates have been corrected to include the correction.
Thank you, sir.
It is a missing date down on March 4th as well.
Yes, I've corrected all
2016. Okay. The next question that I have, once again, I'm not sure who will ultimately respond to it. There is, it references the moratorium going for 180 days. If I recollect correctly my reading of state statute, 180 days for moratorium is the maximum allowed. Wondering where the 180 days came up with and why we started already with the maximum allowance.
Mm-hmm. Councilor Gilson?
I'll direct that question to the city attorney. He's the one that recommended a 180 day moratorium.
City attorney.
Well, that is the maximum available under state law, and it was my understanding that that was the goal of the council supporting the moratorium to allow time for the work to be performed.
So question 2A would be, where did 180 days come from? To be able to support this and go with the full effect of the law, what's the reasoning behind going with the maximum?
Councilor Johnson.
When I spoke with the city attorney, he said the maximum allowed was 180 days. And in order to go to the planning board and such and get all the information gathered up, it's probably essentially going to take that amount of time.
Okay. I do have the third question I have is, if this is passed in second reading, I couldn't find this in my own research. Usually with an ordinance amendment, it goes into effect 30 days after the second passage. Does a moratorium go into effect immediately, which would be at our January meeting, or would that go into effect February, which would be 30 days?
City Attorney?
The ordinance amendment will become effective 30 days following approval in second reading, if so approved. It is made to be retroactive, so that the bar that it contains will apply starting today. So any site plan applications received after day would be prohibited under this moratorium from being processed further upon its effective date.
Thank you. If I may continue, fourth question I have is, according to this, are any and all site plan applications barred from being heard, or simply the ones from the energy company that has approached us already?
I believe it's written any and all over 10 megawatts.
City Attorney?
That's correct. Electrical power generation facilities having that capacity or more.
Okay. Last question I have here. There was something that I believe was added prior or post our agenda setting meeting where it talks about, and I apologize, I have it highlighted here. The provisions of this moratorium do not apply to businesses constructing heating or power generation systems to meet on-site heating and or power needs. And I think that is existing business that we have here in the city. One thing that I don't see here, because we talk about, or the ordinance amendment talks about 10 megawatts or more earlier, it doesn't say the size limitation to existing businesses. Is that correct?
Correct.
So if we have a larger entity here that would possibly consume more than 10 megawatts, if they choose themselves to bring forward something, is this saying that they aren't or are restricted from bringing forward an application? Because as it's written now, they are not because of an existing business.
That's the way it's written.
Correct. That's the way it's written for heating or power used on site.
So they could be if they brought something, an application, 10 megawatts or more, it would be allowable, regardless of the company that's bringing it forward.
Yes, for on-site heating and powering needs.
Okay. So if I may speak to it, like this is my first time here to speak to it, in that, and I meant to bring that forward for a few different reasons here. The first is we have to be careful what the true reasoning of a moratorium is. Is it to address, as it's stated here, the concerns associated with safety, location, the digging up of roads and the pipeline, or is it to keep them out? I think that's the first crux of what we have to understand here. If it's to address any of those needs that I stated previously, you do not need a moratorium for. We can address them. We can start it tonight. And that could have been what was brought forward here tonight. With a moratorium, personally, I believe, yes, it is. I believe it is focused more on keeping this entity out. And I highlighted that because I really wanted to press on the fact that any business, existing business, per this ordinance amendment, if they choose to bring forward any application, 10 megawatts or more, they're allowed. So if the reasoning behind the moratorium is to stop that, then why would we allow an existing business to do so? I'm not saying I'm in favor of that. I'm completely opposed to that. However, that's a key crux argument in the way it's written. I believe that we are opening ourselves up to something that is not right here and could have very dire circumstances outside of something as simple as a company giving up plans and leaving. That's the most simplistic. That won't cost the city anything of what we have here. What could it cost down the road? Huge. And I'll stop at that point. I wish to speak again and not talk about it. I did ask my questions, so I wish any other counselors they could chime in on some of the questions that I had.
Is there any further discussion? City Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I want to address a few of the things that I've tried to bring to the City Council's attention as we discuss a large policy issue, maybe not as big as municipal solid waste and recycling. But that trying to be consistent with my advice to the City Council and being consistent with the actions that the City Manager makes, I illustrated through my management credo to you in the past that this is the structure that I try to make recommendations based on. First one being the share the long-term vision of the city instilled by the council, the comprehensive plan and management directions. The reason why that is number one is because in the absence of having the community in my ear every single time when I'm given direction of the council, we have the comprehensive plan. It's a very good document if anybody hasn't read it. I read it before I assumed this position. And that if you listen to any of the advice that I give, that I try not to give it in a vacuum. And usually I'm trying to look comprehensively at the issues that are before the City Council. I do focus a lot on economic development. That is true. And I bring to the City Council's attention a lot of the variables regarding economic development that they should consider, because I think that is an area where we could improve. Economic development for the city needs to be something that fits the vision, the values, and the opportunity of the community. I don't know what that is. That's why you're elected. Myself and the Economic Development Director create opportunities. The opportunity to discuss the sale of this city property for this particular company is always, I'm always going to feel like, is an opportunity lost, because we didn't address it faithfully in the beginning by communicating what the opportunity was. Is that as the property owner of City Hall, that we had a lot of authority in how this opportunity could be rolled out. Mr. Mizoblonsky, we need to start listening to him much more because I've agreed with him now in two consecutive meetings. And that he said certainty and being predictable and consistent. And I agree. We need to be certain to the businesses that we're trying to get to invest in our city so that their development fits our vision, values, and opportunities. I don't know what that is, but it's very important to Creighton economic development. And that maybe, just maybe, we should address whether our vision and values still align with our comprehensive plan. Because we do find ourselves, in the last 9 months that I've been here, being at odds with our comprehensive plan on decisions that we make at the council level. That being said, the decision that the council takes is yours independently. I certainly put in some information in the manager's report, some items that I'd like you to consider while you make this vote. The first being the substance of a moratorium and the specificity of the issues that you're citing in a moratorium. Please take that into consideration. Additionally, I illustrate three economic development futures. None of them are based on certainty, and they're all linear assumptions, and we know what we can do with linear assumptions in government. None of them predict the path. The intent of putting those things in front of you is to think about how much effort needs to be involved in creating the economic development of the city of Rockland in the future. If this is not our opportunity, or we need to spend a lot more time before we take on this opportunity, that is certainly acceptable, but we need to start probably creating a plan so that administration can deliver the opportunities that we would consider at the city council and with the public. That's all I have. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, City Manager. Jim, further discussion? Councilor Pritchett.
Just to speak to two of Councillor Clayton's questions. When I look at a calendar, I see it being hard pressed to turn the questions we have before us into very specific issues to research. Be sure we have the right people to advise us on that. Be sure those issues are appropriately vetted at a committee level. Bring them back to council, have council have an opportunity to have a public hearing or two, and then pass and go into effect and do that in less than 180 days. And I think that's how the state got to the 180-day number in the first place, was that in most municipalities, whether they're cities or whether they're town meeting towns, it takes 4, 5, 6 months to vet an issue, create a grant ordinance, and amend it, and oftentimes longer. I'm looking at how long we struggle with short-term rental tonight. If it turns out there's only one valid question here and we can turn it around in 4 months, I will be the first one to argue we should bring it back in 4 months. The 6 months piece has been in state statute for the war, I think, as long as I've been doing this, which is longer than I want to admit. And I think it's just a function of recognizing the time it takes. To the other language, and we can certainly amend it in second reading if we think there's a better language. The sole reason for the sentence you questioned was to be sure that if an FMC or a Fisher Plow was doing an upgrade, that they don't get tangled up in this, which is not the intent, because it's only about generating power for their own use on site. So it's not about a third party, building power plants, about a commercial entity being able to replace or upgrade existing equipment or install equipment that improves their efficiency and reliability.
Thank you, Councillor Pritchett. Further discussion? Councillor Geiger.
One last thing. Throughout the last 9 months, as I've looked at this energy plant, I've really tried to separate the issues, and in my own mind, I sort of separated them into cake and icing. And it seemed to me that Rockland would dearly love the icing of $400,000 to $500,000 added to our budget every year when we so very much need it for delayed and neglected infrastructure. But I can't vote on icing. I have to vote on the cake, and then the icing comes with it. And so I really struggled about, is the cake good for Rockland? And I don't know the answer. I still don't know the answer. I wish I did. And that's why I ended up coming down on the side of a moratorium. I wish that Mr. Coleman and Clear Energy and EMI had come to the table with a clear proposal in writing. I wish that they could articulate the location they were looking to buy, the customers they had lined up for the scheme, that they could provide us with solid numbers around emissions and steam generation and water use and the use of gray water. But none of those things have been addressed. They have been from the start, 9 months now, vaguely put out. And I'm just uncomfortable with the lack of transparency to feel comfortable saying, I will wait until February and hope that everything that has potentially been promised turns out to be true.
Any further discussion? Councilor Clayton?
I do wish to speak, but I do actually come up with one more question if I could. Back to the second page, that first paragraph under that, talking once again to any application for energy entities here for businesses constructing heating power generation systems, would that also apply to any applications for solar farm, wind farm, or geothermal within the city as well?
I believe that this is for grid scale power production.
Which would be? My question, to simplify it even more maybe, is I know we're talking a lot about a cogeneration plant, gas-fired, but is this also now restricting applications even being seen for any other entity, let alone geothermal, wind, or solar?
I believe that it would be if they're over 10 megawatts.
Okay.
And producing electricity. Yes.
I wish to
yes,
speak to my final turn, if I may, Madam Mayor. So to it. In a brief little precursor before the statements that I have here, I want to make mention of one thing, is that you certainly see a split and divided council. On the outside, that may seem more than what it is, but it isn't. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, especially since Councilor Gilson has come on. All of us have chatted and relayed and really hashed this thing out. It's not just something that we did last Monday and this Monday. The beauty of this council, and I'll say it once again, is that we have the ability to agree to disagree. There's no animosity in that. I still want to say that once again. I think that's fantastic, because all of us love the city. All of us have the best interests in mind. So don't expect any fireworks from all of us up here, because you certainly won't get them. We're very amicable. So with that, I'm going to say once again, and as I've practiced some of my conversations with my colleagues, is what is the reasoning for the moratorium? Is it the safety? Is it the health of the city? Is it for the infrastructure piece? What is it? If that's what it is, we do not need a moratorium. You do not need that. And in fact, a moratorium right now is going to delay any of those questions we have until after second reading, which would be in January. I'll say once again, we could have done it tonight. We could do it anytime. We could have a special meeting. Once again, that's why I personally can't vote for the moratorium. Am I concerned about the safety of such an entity? Absolutely. I have two children. I worry about the view quarter. I worry about it. I do. Even though some may believe, since whether it's reported or statements erroneous online, I'm not sold on it. I'm not. And the reason is because I can't vote against or for it, because I don't know. Is that a problem for REC not bringing us information sooner? Absolutely. I've made that statement publicly and privately. That is certainly a downfall on their end. However, it's their business decision. The new version that came to us that had a couple different additional pieces with some additional language, one of it states that within 14 days of passage, which would be the after second vote for passage, which would be in January, within the 14 days of the council's adoption, the Energy Committee is directed to convey to the Planning Board a summary of any issues that the committee recommends be considered by the Planning Board based on forums held by the committee. So to my colleagues answering about the full 180 days needed, it was stated that we could use up to 6 months, if not more. However, we're also directing with this ordinance amendment to direct the Energy Committee, and I know you have a lot of information on your belt, they have to do this within 14 days. So once again, I'm going to ask why the 180 days, if we're already asking some of our own committees to do it within 14 days to address. We're also addressing or asking that our city manager is directed to provide within 30 days options to the planning board. Once again, it seems like we're leaving ourselves enough room, at least it's stated in the moratorium for 6 months, but yet we're really pushing as quick as we can. And the reason I think that it's in there is because Mr. Coleman has stated that in February he plans to bring forward a plan. I don't think it's coincidence that those dates match and marry up so quickly. The moratorium, in my own opinion, and as was stated in some editorials online, is that the moratorium does not hold up to state statute. They are fairly vague, I will give them that, but I still am concerned if we are safe against lawsuits. Now, it was mentioned tonight that Evan Coleman I don't know the word, but he kind of threatened a lawsuit. He didn't threaten a lawsuit. He said that is not in their company's interest to do so, and they would not. He specifically stated that. I'm more worried about somebody now that has gone from a public entity, City Hall property, now to a private land. What is that private landowner going to do? The private landowner now has grounds, in my opinion, and we have to be very careful with this, that they say, we've known about this, whether it's private or public property, since May. All of a sudden, now the press comes out that it's going to be, they're looking at private property. Now the next meeting that the council has is going to look to reject it. What about, I think everybody's focusing on the energy company. What about the private landowner? He or she, I don't know who they are. I think anybody or very few people would know. What are they going to think? Because they're, in all honesty, they're abiding by what the rules and standards we have are in place. They still have to go through the planning board approval and through MAPOC. I also have a concern of it for any precedent for future endeavors. What is it going to say to anything, or what is it going to, how are we going to respond to any potentially new councillors or residents come in or any other company that comes in and they wish to have a moratorium in place of that? What if it's solar? What if it's wind? What do we say? And that's not a rhetorical question. You really have to think about that. What do we say? This is really a precedent on future business applications coming in. The moratorium even bars any application from being heard. Now, there are a lot of people out there that anytime we talk or we read online about Rockland Energy Company, Evan Coleman's name comes up. Love him or hate him, I don't really know. We're not in the business, and we don't decide, or can we decide, on personalities. We might decide differently a lot of things if we base things on personalities. We can't. It's not our within our right to do. So I ask you as well, what if it's a different company? What if it's a completely different company that has the best safety regulations out there? And if they come, would you feel the same way? Because what this is doing now is that we can't even hear them. They can't even apply. Do you feel the same way? Lastly, I want to bring up Evan Coleman as well, because it was stated after last week's meeting and that he was a bully, that his attitude was more of aggression towards the city. I don't see it as aggression, I see it as frustration. I ask anybody out there, and we had a few people speak tonight, and just as we've had over the past year, for transient rental accommodations, TRA, Airbnb, whatever you wish to call it. We had a lot of people that are speaking for and against it, because, especially the ones that are for it, because they have thousands of dollars wrapped up into it. Think about somebody like an Evan Coleman that has millions of dollars wrapped up into it. Would you not have the same, I mean, we see it at the podium. You see the frustration at the podium. The thing is that we actually saw a business person show that frustration, and you can't hold that against them. I know I didn't. The business piece and background that I've been used to over the years, that's not aggression. That's just frustration saying, what else would you like me to do? I will vote against the moratorium. I will say once again, I'm not in favor or against an energy plan because I don't know. I want to see the plans. Do I think that we lost a large bargaining chip being here? Yep, absolutely. That's just the sales. Now we need to go on to the next thing. And in the meantime, I don't wish to have a moratorium because, once again, if we don't like REC and what they have planned, we don't get to see any other applications, and that's the wrong way to handle it.
Thank you, Councillor Clayton. And it looks like Councillor Joseph, you have any more comment?
I do not.
Okay. City Manager, second time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is kind of a really important policy topic that we can address.
how we create policy. And I guess I have to take the opportunity to say that often in my line of work, we're counting to three. We're trying to figure out there's five people that make policy, and which way is a policy essentially going to be guided in so that we can facilitate the discussion regarding the policy. That simplifies it a lot. We're not really just counting to three, but a lot of times we're just trying to figure out what's the sentiment of council. We have 9 months of invested time into this this policy discussion already. And certainly efficiency and delivery of service is something the council wants to see me do. So I often don't want to just throw away time. That being said, as soon as a vote is had, as soon as the council lets their policy decision be known, the council's already learned that I'm an executor. We go out and we deliver the policy that the council wants. We've always possessed the authority to create new zoning ordinance since this discussion started. If that was the route that we wanted to go, we need to get at to the heart of how we make policy decisions and essentially figure out what the issue is so that we can start it in the course that's most productive. If it's creating new zoning laws and site plan standards, I can tell you that the planning board already has an appetite for that and has been working on it. So we can put all of our collective energy to use to create good policy that the city of Rockland collectively agrees with and wants to see move forward. But maybe we should start at the grassroots of the policy and not always attack it legislatively. That what we are created is laws, and that sometimes try to figure out what are the fundamental building blocks of that law before we actually start addressing the legislative process. I think we're going to try to do that with municipal solid waste and recycling, but that's also not the first time that the city of Rockland has addressed those issues. So there is going to be some probably built-up pressures that come with just addressing those issues again. But workshopping things at the very, very lowest levels of where are we trying to push things so that then when we get to the point of legislation that we can be articulate and we can meet the true vision of what the city wants.
Thank you, City Manager. Under the rules of procedure, each of the councilors has spoken twice. Councilor Gilson has opted not to. I will ask that the city clerk is recognized for the vote.
Councilor Geiger.
So, let me be clear. A yes vote is for the moratorium.
That is correct.
Yes.
Councilor Gilson.
Yes.
Madam Mayor.
No.
Councilor Pritchett.
Yes.
Councilor Clayton.
No.
We have a 3-2 vote. The ordinance in first reading authorizing moratorium grid-scale power facilities has passed. And I'll set a public hearing for public hearing.
The January 11th at 6 p.m.
January 11th at 6 p.m. at our regular meeting. Okay, thank you. Now we're going back to. Yeah. Why don't we take a quick 5-minute break? That way.